We open our Bibles tonight and turn in the Word of God to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. We're going to be reading just the last two verses of Ecclesiastes 11. We'll start reading in verse 9. And then we'll read through Ecclesiastes 12. So, begin reading in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanities. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This far we read the word of God tonight. Our text is found in verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It is the duty of those who are old, the duty of those who are middle-aged, and it is the duty of those who are young. We must fear God and keep God's commandments. And no one is exempt from this. No one has an excuse not to fear God and keep his commandments. We say that tonight at the outset because it is often thought and even verbalized by some that when a young person is in their youth, they should be allowed to sow their wild oats, so to speak, before settling down into mature living. Nowhere does the Bible teach us this, and nowhere does the Bible even allow for this. The passage we focus on tonight is appropriate for those sons who are even entering into now that age of discretion. And in our series of sermons on the calling of men in the realm of the Church of Jesus Christ, it is proper that we begin with the young man of the church. At the end of our series, we're going to be talking about the old and the gray-haired man in the church. But first of all, we address the young man. We must begin with that calling that you, young men, have been given in the Church of Jesus Christ. The Bible indeed has much to say about the duty of young men in the church. That's evident not only from Ecclesiastes here, but that's evident throughout Solomon's writing of the Proverbs, which addresses his sons, and of course his daughters as well, but in the main his sons, young men in the church. So we're going to direct our attention to the youth of the church tonight. What we have established so far now in our series of sermons on the upright man is that we are addressing men who fear God. In a certain sense, this is assumed also by Solomon in the passage that we consider here tonight. When addressing the church, we address young men, therefore, who love God and who have the fear of God before their eyes. Indeed, this is a word of warning to those in the church who are young and do not fear God, but walk in unbelief and in rebellion against Him. But nevertheless, this is a word of God written for the benefit of believing young men in the church and those who indeed fear God. So we've established that fact already. Secondly, we have also established the fact that man, by virtue of his creation itself, has been called by God to have dominion over the creatures of God's hands. Man was created, therefore, to exercise headship. It is in that special creation of the man, therefore, that he is called upon to take the rule over this present creation in which he dwells and to develop this creation in the service of his Creator. That's not something that becomes true of men because they have learned of it and later on in life now begin to assume that headship over this creation, but already in his youth, a man must learn to exercise dominion over this creation, always in the service of his God and his Creator. In fact, youth ought to be a training ground for that kind of activity. And parents must keep that in mind when they are instructing young men in their homes and in their families as well. When a son reaches this stage of his development, then parents need to recognize this and must guide their sons as they develop in their youth in that way that they teach them of their calling as a head in this present world. It's a slow process, a process that needs nurturing from the very moment that a young child now enters into the years of discretion, the age of adolescence. It carries through his youth until his adulthood, but a parent ought to be very much aware that God has created a young man in such a way that he is to rule. And we must prepare our young men to take that on responsibly and in the service of our Creator. So we keep that in mind also in our consideration of the passage that we have before us tonight. We consider tonight remembering the Creator in youth. Remembering the Creator in youth. We want to address, first of all, when He must remember his creator, that is, in his youth. And secondly, what it is to remember that creator. And then finally, why ought the young man to remember his creator? When, what, and why? The injunction of our text is that we must remember our creator. But this injunction is given very specifically by Solomon to a certain age of men. Solomon does not intend to admonish everyone in the church in this passage to remember their creator, even though that is the calling of us from young until we are old. But Solomon addresses the youth of the church in particular. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth. The word translated here by youth denotes a young man who is not yet married, but has reached an age where he is maturing into an adult. So Solomon addresses young men who have reached that stage of life between childhood and adulthood. And although the Bible here doesn't recognize all of the modern ways of describing this particular age of one's life, that is, it doesn't speak of it as adolescence or the age of puberty or the age of discretion or the teenage years of a young man's life. Nevertheless, that does not mean that Solomon, in his wisdom, did not know what this age was all about. Certainly he did. He not only lived through it himself, but by means of that very term that he uses here, the word youth, he is fully aware the child develops slowly now over a number of years into adulthood. That is the time that he calls youth. And he says, remember thy creator now in that particular period or those days of your life when you are young. So the admonition here is addressed to the youth of the church. And God's word tonight addresses young men, young people, but in particular young men, as is evident from verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 11 of the church. Just as we address the place of single women in the church when we considered the series of sermons on the virtuous woman, now we consider that place of the single man, the unmarried man, in the church, but in particular the young unmarried man of the church. That the youth are addressed by God's word here is also evident from the rest of this verse that we consider. Notice, remember your creator while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. What God's word means by this is really not all that difficult to understand. Maybe it seems that way when we first look at this verse, but it's really not all that difficult. Right now, young men of the church, right now, you are called upon to remember your creator before the evil days draw nigh. You dwell in the strength of your youth. The weaknesses of mind and body are perhaps not yours as of yet, but they will soon, and sooner than what you think, catch up with you in your lives. You're slowly but surely going to grow old, and the passage before us is a reminder of that. That's the way of all flesh. And right now you take little thought in your strength about the fact that that strength will begin ebbing in your life. You feel that you can go out in the strength of youth and conquer the world, but life is really no more than a, fleeting breath, and soon enough you will begin to experience what older saints do, the aches and the pains of life. Physically, you'll no longer have the vigor and the stamina that you have right now. Mentally, your ability to memorize things and then recall them in an instant will begin to slow down. These are the evil days that Solomon refers to here in this particular word of God. Literally, he says they are troublesome or uncomfortable days. And of these infirmities, you will say, in that time when they are upon you, I have no pleasure in these years of my life, in these days. How often we hear that, don't we, of elderly saints in the church? When they visit with one another, it seems like the topic of their visit with one another is their ailments. They like to talk together about their ailments in life. Where are my reading glasses? It seems like I cannot see these words on the written page in front of me anymore. What are you saying? Please repeat it. I can't hear you very well anymore. I'm so stiff when I wake up in the morning. I have to do my stretches before I can finally get busy with my life. It's getting to the point where I have to read that paragraph over several times before I can really get the gist of what it means to me. All that and more we hear, don't we? From older saints, not just old saints, but older saints in the church. Those evil days draw nigh. And young men of the church, we may smile tonight when we hear those kinds of things concerning those who are older in the Church of Jesus Christ, but before you know it, and I can speak from experience in that, those ailments will be upon you too. I have no pleasure in these evil days. In those days, however, troublesome that they may be, the believer, the believing man, begins to understand for himself the frailty of this human life. And as a result, he also becomes wise. Wise in understanding the vanity, the emptiness of life without God, and wise to the fleeting nature of life itself. Man is not so superhuman as the movies and the books like to make men out to be. His life is but a handbreadth in length. And soon man shrivels up and he dies. Now the believing man reacts to that reality in life in the knowledge that a better life really awaits him. And as he grows older, the things of this present life really become a bit dim to him, and the things of the life to come become stronger and glow all the more brightly in his life. And for that reason, he becomes wise in the ways of this world. That's not how a young man oftentimes thinks, as we're going to find out. Young man does not think about the fact that there's a life that awaits him where he will run and never grow weary and walk and never faint, but he thinks that in this life he can run and never grow weary. And he becomes busy with his life, and he thinks that a long life is still awaiting him here in this present world. After all, I'm of good health, aren't I, as a young man in the church, and I'm strong as a young man. I can worry about the things of the kingdom of heaven a little bit later on in my life, because I'm really too busy with my life in this world as it is right now. Too many important things for me to consider here. That's why this word of God comes to you, young men of the Church of Jesus Christ. The reason it comes to young man is really twofold, according to Scripture itself. First of all, it comes to young man because of the strength of youth. Listen to the assessment that God gives to young men here in 1 John 2, verse 14. Starts with fathers and it ends with young men. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And now notice here, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. In other words, it's speaking to the young men of the church because you're strong. It's not speaking to everybody in general, all young men in general. It's speaking to the young men of the church, and it points out to them that they are strong, not physically, but because the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. To you, young men of the church, belongs salvation. What a blessed assurance that you ought to receive from the word of God here tonight. To you belongs salvation because God has worked in your hearts by his grace and his spirit. And Jesus Christ has overcome for you the power and dominion of sin. And Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, has defeated the power of the wicked one, that is, Satan himself. And in that strength now, that is imparted to you as young men of the church, Solomon addresses you in Ecclesiastes 12. Knowing that the admonition that he gives to young men in the church here doesn't fall on deaf ears when he gives it. It falls upon ears, the ears of those in whom Jesus Christ has worked that salvation. Solomon does not call into question here in this passage your salvation. Now we realize that there can be young men and young women of the church as well that walk in unbelief and rebellion before God. But Solomon, in essence, isn't addressing them. He's addressing the believing young man in the church here, and he appeals to your faith, a faith that has come with the fact that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And the strength that you have is that strength of youth that Christ has worked in you. In other words, that strength you have is Christ. It is Christ as he dwells within your hearts, and you're able to use that strength in mighty ways in your lives, young lives, when you remember your Creator. That then is, in the first place, is the reason that Solomon can address the youth of the church. There's a second reason, probably a more immediate reason, that Solomon gives to young men this particular admonition. That's found in the very last verse now that we read in Ecclesiastes 11, the verse that precedes our text tonight. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now, that doesn't contradict what we have just said about the young men of the church. Believing young men in the church are strong in the Lord, but they also have a sinful flesh in them. And because wisdom and discretion is something that comes oftentimes with the experiences of life and the hard knocks of life, a young man, as of yet, as he's developing into the years of his adulthood, doesn't really have a mature sense of what discretion is, and he certainly doesn't have a sense of what wisdom fully is either in his life. And because that's true, his flesh can oftentimes deceive him. As I said, when the evil days are come upon a person, They've learned that life is fleeting. They've learned that life in this world is empty without God and without salvation in Christ. And that in turn teaches a man wisdom. You wonder why elders in the church are elders, older men of the church. They're older men of the church because the Lord has worked in their hearts wisdom through the experiences that they have had themselves in their own youth as well as in life in general. Young men haven't learned from that experience as of yet. And it's easy for their flesh to convince them, well, I'm not really going to confront God yet in judgment for a long, long time. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I can live as I will and not really suffer any immediate consequences in my life anyway. And God will not require of me now, since I'm still alive, He will not require of me to answer Him. Not until, well, I get older in life. And when I get older, well, then I'll turn from my sin and I'll confess my sin before God. The certain deception, you see, of our own sinful flesh. And that's why Solomon says childhood and youth are vanity, emptiness. At these ages, we are not so spiritually attuned, sensitive to what sin is and what our sin in life is. We are apt in the foolishness of youth to forget God and His judgment and follow after the desires of our own flesh. That's why Solomon writes this in verse 9 now of chapter 11. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. Go ahead, walk in the ways of your heart. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. He will bring you into judgment. You know, once in a while, God reminds us in a very harsh manner that life is fleeting. And He does that by taking away the life of a young man or a young woman in the church. Young men are not immune from disease. Young men are not immune from cancer. God sometimes takes a young man with a heart condition that nobody had diagnosed prior to that time, and in the strength of the youth, he drops dead on a gym floor. His heart stops. Young man. Young men, sometimes in the foolishness of their own sin, in their drunkenness, as well as in their daredevil feats, forget about the fact that they are not invincible because they're young. And they die. They're killed because of that. And then there are the normal, and I put this in quotation marks, accidents, because with God there is no accident, that can claim the life of a young man or a young woman too. And it happens. God sends us sometimes these harsh reminders just to show to us that you don't have to be old to die. That even when we're young, our life really hangs on but by a thread, and that God can cut that thread at any moment in our lives. But even without these harsh reminders that life is fleeting, there is one really outstanding truth that young men ought to keep in mind, and that is this. God at all times sees and knows what we are thinking, what we are saying, and what we are doing. And it's possible, perhaps, to hide our actions from parents. Sometimes in the darkness of the night, when we go out, we can hide our actions from fellow believers and from the church, but we'll never be able to hide our actions from God. Everything that we do are open unto the eye, or is open unto the eyes of our God, who sees and knows all things, and who will bring us into judgment for all these things in our lives. That's the second reason that Solomon now in his wisdom addresses the young man of the church. And it is for this reason too God gives to young men of the church this particular command. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It's striking now that the admonition of this passage here doesn't say remember your God or remember Jehovah. It says remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And Solomon does that because that name in particular that he uses here of God, that he is our Creator, points to the fact that God, after all is said and done, is the Almighty God of heaven and earth, who through his power has called all creatures into existence and rules over all of the creatures of his hands, directing them in his providence to fulfill his own sovereign will and good pleasure. You know, it reminds me of an example that the Bible uses in a number of different places where it likens God to a potter. You know what a potter is, right? It's one who makes pottery, shapes and molds pottery out of clay. The pottery takes this lump of clay and he forms it on the spinning wheel in front of him into that shape and that form and that use for which he purposes it. Well, that's what God does with man. He's Creator. And God forms man exactly into the vessel that he has chosen in particular for that man. Why? Because God is the sovereign Creator over all creatures. Because God has made everything according to fulfill his own sovereign will and good pleasure in this world. Paul tells us in Romans 9, in fact, that God has actually made some men as vessels fitted unto destruction, while others that he has shaped and molded into vessels of mercy. The point is, God's Creator, and he has a right, and he has the power to do what he wills with all of his creation, including man himself. That's why God rules. He reigns over the creatures of his hand and has the power to take that vase that he has made and to set it on a table for every man to view, or to take it and dash it in pieces. He has the right and the power to do that as Creator. It's God's command to all men to fear him and to keep his commandments. And God demands as Creator of all of his creatures, over man in particular, that he give to his Creator that due obedience. After all, we're just puny creatures in the hands of that Almighty God, you remember. So Solomon tells the young men of the church, remember who God is. Remember him. He's your Creator. He's the one who's formed you, and not you yourselves. God did. Remember that Creator. But furthermore, Solomon calls God our Creator, or your Creator. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. And that's significant too. And that because this word of God also points out that this God, this Creator of heaven and earth, is our God. He's our God. We're the sheep of his pasture. We belong to that God, and because he has chosen us, he has bestowed on us his great love. And Solomon reminds the young men of the church of that too. Do not only remember, young men, that this God is your creator, but remember what that God has done for you in your life. Not only has he chosen you as one of his children, but by his grace, he has delivered you out of the darkness of unbelief and sin and given you a place within his household and his family. You belong to him. You didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve that. None of us deserve that. God, by his grace, has done that. Remember that creator, because he's your creator. He could have shaped us into those vessels of dishonor fitted unto destruction. Realize that? He could have left us in the sin and the misery and the guilt that we incurred in our father Abraham or Adam. But he didn't do that. Didn't do that. The Creator could have left us or prepared for us a place in hell on account of our sin. And we would have deserved every bit of it. But God didn't do that. Instead, our Creator chose us unto salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ and then sent the Son of his love into this world to take upon himself our sins and to remove those sins from you and from me. That's what God has done for us, young men of the church. Think of that. Remember that. Remember that by means of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that now resides in your hearts. He does dwell there, doesn't he? Christ dwells in your heart, doesn't he? Then know that God is creator and that he's our creator. Children of the church, young men of the church, remember this creator in the days of your youth, one who has created us and recreated us in Christ. Remember what God has done for you. Remember. Remember. Call to mind, recall to mind the mercies that your God has shown to you in your life. Recall to mind what you have learned in your lives concerning God the Creator and God the Savior. Things that you were taught when you were children already at home. Solomon here writes to the youth of the church that were born and raised up in the church. Now, I know that that's not true of every young man sitting here tonight, that you were born and raised up in the church. There's one in particular who came to us in his youth. Quite a blessing. But this word of God applies to every young man in the church. Every young man. It is normal that in the church young men are taught from childhood on concerning who God is, the great creator of heaven and earth. It is normal that young children, young girls and boys in the church, learn about that God who has sent Jesus Christ into this world to die in order to take away our sins. We learn about that. Isn't that right, boys? Isn't that right, girls? We learn about that from our moms and our dads in the home already. We learn about that when we're little. We learn about that in church through the preaching of the gospel that we hear. We learn about that in the catechism room who God is and who Jesus Christ is. We've learned about that. Now, what Solomon is saying to young men here is, remember what you were taught in your childhood. Recall to mind who that Creator is and who that God of your salvation is. Even for that young man in the church who came to us in youth, was taught by the church concerning that Creator and that salvation. And God says to him, as well as to all of us as young men of the church, remember now what you've been taught about God and bring that to your mind. And don't forget them. Recall them to mind constantly, over and over and over again. And as a young person, you make decisions. Isn't that striking? That it's oftentimes during those very years of discretion that God calls young men to make so many different important decisions in life. Well, God says to you, when you are making those decisions, don't forget who your God is, that He's your Creator. God must be first in your thoughts when you are choosing a life's vocation and labor. Where I'm going to work, what kind of work I'm going to become involved in. When you search for a young woman, eventually to date and perhaps marry, don't forget God, your Creator, and choose a woman that would please that God. When you are alone with your friends and you are away from any kind of parental supervision, you're out on your own, then you must consciously, maybe that's even together with your friends, because we choose the right friends too, don't we? We consciously make choices about what we're going to do and where we're going to go with one another. We always do that with our Creator in mind, you understand. You know what godly living is? Your parents have taught you how to live a godly life. At least every conscientious parent teaches their children how to lead a godly life. You've been taught a godly life by your minister and by other saints in the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, remember your Creator so that you can please Him. And when that flesh pulls at you to walk in ways of sin, and believe me, that flesh will pull at you, then recall to mind your Creator and what He has done for you. And don't reason in your hearts, well, I'll walk in what pleases my flesh now, and I'll do what I want to do now, and I'll worry about the consequences of that later. No, God's word in the word of God before us tonight is this: remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Right now, not later on. Right now, right now, during this particular stage in my life, being a young man in the church, I must remember my Creator. Right now, at this moment when I am about to make a decision as to what I am going to do, remember your Creator. When you are alone in your room with your telephone, your smartphone, or your television, or your computer, remember your Creator now at this particular moment. And when you are with your friends, right now, remember your Creator at that moment and what He has done for you. That's the injunction of the Word of God that we have before us tonight. Now the question imposes itself, of course, on us at this point. Why? Why is it so important to remember our Creator when we are young. Why not wait until later on in life? And the answer, first of all, is this: in order that we might walk in obedience to His will and not our own. This is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. After all, every man will indeed be brought into judgment for what he has done in this life. And as we mentioned earlier, God in that day of judgment will not take as an excuse by us, "Well, God, I did that when I was young and foolish." God won't listen to that excuse in the day of judgment. David, as we're going to sing in a few moments, lamented over the sins of his youth. And believers do that too. When they grow older and they look back at the foolishness of their own youth, they lament over that. "Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago," they pray before Him. The adult believer never boasts in the sins of his youth. I can't stand that, you know, when you hear middle-aged people talking to their kids and bragging about the things that they did wrong in their youth, their sin. Remembering our Creator when we are young, helps young people. It helps us from becoming wounded in our young years and then carrying with us for the rest of our lives the scars that those wounds leave behind. How to remember that life in this world is vanity without God. It's emptiness. Wrong decisions in youth can lead to a lifetime of misery. There's another reason, much more positive reason, perhaps, to remember your Creator in your youth, and that is given to us once again in verse 9. We read that chapter 11. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." There you have it. Youth is a time of strength. And you may be cheerful in that strength. And you may rejoice in this particular time of your life. Because you know what? It is a wonderful time of life when you have the strength of youth on your side and the evil days have not drawn near as of yet. Being young, after all, is not a curse. Being young is a rich blessing that God has given to you as young men and young women of the church. But it's a blessing only when we remember our Creator. Otherwise, youth is vanity, youth is emptiness, and quite frankly, youth can be quite confusing if you don't remember your Creator. So rejoice, O young man, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. But don't forget the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the young women and the young men of Thy church, and for children that grow up also in the midst of Thy church. We know that it is only by Thy grace alone that Thou dost work in the hearts of Thy people salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it is only by Thy grace that we have come to know our sinfulness in ourselves, in our need for the cross of our Savior. And yet we know that Thou dost raise up young men of Thy church too. in whom thou dost work by that grace, that they might have that knowledge. And we pray for them that thou wilt guard them and guide them in their youth, and that they indeed might recall to their minds in all of the important decisions that they must make in their youth, their Creator, and the one who has saved them. We pray thy blessing upon us as a congregation, that thy word also might so enter into our hearts that we might be preserved here in this place, and that we might indeed, young and old alike, fear God and keep thy commandments. Where we have sinned, forgive us, Father. Keep us from sin and bless us in this week to come. For Jesus' sake, amen.